Hello, hello, and welcome to Let's Plan a Wedding with Shelby. My name is Ashley, and I own Lovely Lane Weddings and Events. We're an event coordination company based in Tampa, Florida, but planning all over, and we're excited to be here to record episode 4 with...
Shelby.
With our coordinator, Shelby. So just a quick overview, if this is your first time joining us, we're an event coordination company, and we are planning Shelby's wedding. One thing we noticed was there was a lot to discuss that moved past your typical list of how to plan or what you should be doing when it comes to planning or coordinating your wedding. And so we would have a lot of personal conversations, and every time we'd be done with our little phone call or our little coffee chat, we'd say, okay, there was some really good stuff in there, some stuff that we wish all of our couples could hear when it comes to the nitty gritty of planning your wedding, some side note things, the real deal, we call it. But we thought that you guys needed to hear it. So you are basically entering a little bit of a planning meeting with Shelby as we discuss a lot of details for her wedding. So we decided that episode 4 needed to dive into some of the really important topics. And some of the topics we've had so far have been pretty big, with her location, with her venue selection, and then one of the most important vendors to Shelby, her photo slash video vendors. So we just talked about that in the last episode, and what we're going to do today is continue to talk about her booking her, and I say her, Shelby, who's your significant other? Because you're not going to hear a ton about him because we're sitting here with Shelby, but
Sam,
the groom is Sam.
We'll get to hear from him eventually.
Yeah. Oh, I can't wait.
We can hear his side.
He doesn't know. We totally should do that.
We do.
Absolutely. So, but we are planning Shelby and Sam's wedding, but you'll hear us reference Shelby a bunch. But yes. Sam's two cents is in there, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So what we're going to dive into is a lot of the vendors that Shelby has been doing research on and has been booking. Just again, to recap for our audience, I think we have to set the tone.
Yeah.
Because we're a Florida-based company. We're Florida girls at heart, all born and raised in the area. But I think we need to talk a little bit about where your wedding is. So if you want to just tell everybody again.
It's in Georgia.
Yay!
In November.
Yay! We are, just for those listening, keeping her venue a little bit of a secret. Now that Shelby's a big-time podcast celebrity. But no, honestly, we do feel there's a venue that's right for everybody, and we didn't want to say this is what Shelby's venue offers or doesn't offer. You're going to hear that. We just didn't want to give the name out quite yet until after the big day. So once the wedding has happened, we will do a recap and share exactly the name of her venue for those that are interested. But if you want to give away the town...
It's in Dahlonega, Georgia.
Dahlonega, Georgia. So you're going to get some beautiful views, you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
You're also going to get some beautiful Georgia fall weather, right?
Yes. Yeah. Let's hope.
So her wedding is actually going to be Friday, November 4th of 2022. So coming up soon, and it's this big joke for all of us because that is the busiest wedding month we've seen in like 30 years. I think we have like how many lovely lane events during that month. Yeah, so it is a little funny. She's like, that's just the best time to do it. I'm like, yeah, we know. But hey, the best of the best for Shelby and Sam. And we are diving in. So I feel like she's experiencing a lot of the stressors that a lot of y'all would when planning your weddings in one of these busy wedding months. So we're in it with them all, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So we wanted to just recap our last episode just a little bit because the topic was Shelby and Sam's photo and video vendors. And we even dove into her engagement shoot a little bit. And as we started to put together what we wanted to talk about on this podcast and where she was at with her coordination and planning, we saw that we had a few little things to bring up that piggybacked right off of episode 3. Cool. Yeah. How that works. We're like pros at this now. So let's just recap who you selected for your photo and video.
Yes. So our photographers are Joy and Everett Photography, and then our videographers are 7 Foot Films.
Okay, and both based out of Georgia, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So another quick little recap as we start to talk about Shelby's vendors. Our company, Lovely Lane, is based out of Tampa, Florida, and we have a lot of great, amazing, wonderful, talented, can't say enough great things about vendor friends. And one thing that was important to Shelby and Sam as we start to talk about things is she wanted to feel like a bride.
She wanted to feel like she's walking through this as a lot of you are, a little in the dark, not knowing the vendors in the area, kind of meeting them for the first time, and really selecting vendors who were well-versed in the city of Dahlonega and in Georgia. So it's been an interesting experience. It's brought on, I think, a lot of excitement, but some stressors. So we're all, again, we're in this with all of y'all that are planning your weddings. We're using our expertise and we're talking about it. However, we're applying it to a new concept where we have just now been meeting these amazing vendors. So it's been really fun. And that was just a huge part of her selection process. So you're going to hear a theme in that when we start talking about some of these other vendors. Guys, we're in it with y'all. We don't know. I mean, again, we're going up to Georgia. We've traveled before, but it's our first time going to be coordinating in Dahlonega. So we're meeting everybody for the first time. So we're going off research and we're going off initial conversations and packages and reviews and everything that y'all would be too. So we're going to dive into some of her vendors that she selected. So you just mentioned your incredible photo and video team based out of Dahlonega. And you had the opportunity to have your engagement shoot there with them, correct?
Yeah, we did.
Awesome. So a couple of things we thought about when it came to that engagement session is you got to actually sit with, you got to take pictures with them.
Yes.
You got to meet them. Sam got to meet them.
Yeah.
Learn posing with them.
Uh-huh.
They get to see y'all's personality.
Yeah.
And we talked a little bit about what to even like wear for something like Yeah, and so they helped out a little bit with that, right?
They did, a lot, actually.
So you picked out a ton of stuff,
mm-hmm.
and then they kind of
brought it all with us.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were talking a little bit with our producer, Caitlin, before this, and she actually is really well-versed in photography as well and had some great advice. So one of the things, weren't you saying, Caitlin, something awesome about the mixing the patterns and things, if there's a lot of greenery in the back?
So just keeping in mind that where you're having your photos taken, keep in mind what the backdrop actually looks like. So maybe don't wear all of the patterns or pick a color and make that your theme. Just so that way when you get your photos back, they're not too busy because these are probably ones that are going to be almost just as important as your wedding day photos.
That's such a great tip. And she was telling us about that. I'm like, wow, we didn't even think about that. And I think that comes from like a creative or a photographer's mindset. And so that was just a great piece of advice. And I think you even supported or piggybacked what Joy and Everett did for Shelby and Sam, that if you love your photographer's style, absolutely ask them for their advice. If ask them about location selection, ask them about what you should be wearing, because if you fell in love with their imagery, there's probably a reason for it. So taking their advice is really great. And so something else that we didn't get a chance to talk about, but we wanted to kind of dive in for this episode because we're talking about vendor selection, is you actually had the privilege of having a hair and makeup trial for your engagement session.
Yes,
is that correct?
I did.
Awesome. So do you want to share with us who you selected for hair and makeup?
Yeah. So her name is Patience, and it is Intensify by Patience, and she does hair and makeup, and she is actually the sister of my photographer.
What?
We're keeping it all in the family.
Yes. That is so amazing.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. They're sisters. So the way I found her was actually by Amber and Tyler, my photographers. I let them know that I'm from Tampa and I'm just, you know, I'm picking all these vendors, not knowing any of them. So they had recommended her to me.
Awesome. So you kind of had like a cherry picked perfect hair and makeup person that you were able to go with without a lot of research.
Yes. Yep.
So, and we do know, we are just diving into this category here when it comes to hair and makeup. This is a vendor that when we start to sit down with our couples and we talk about, okay, who's most important to reach out to and to book sooner than later, there is definitely a handful of vendors we're going to talk about that we feel like, hey, star them. They're a sooner rather than later. And this is a vendor that moved from maybe you could book 4 to 6 months out, that has moved into the category of star them, you need to book 6 months to a year out.
Right away.
There are very few talented hair and makeup artists or teams that are able to do everything that they need to accomplish on a wedding day. So what I mean by that is they've got to be great at keeping up timing. They've got to be reliable. They've got to have a calm presence. They have to be talented. They have to be problem solving. They have to be efficient when it comes to doing multiple different types of hair and makeup. They've got to be able to nail a style. They have to have good quality product that's going to last for 10, 12 hours. They also are the first point of contact for your group and for your bridal party. So it's sometimes, what, 6 a.m.? Sometimes as early as 6 a.m. that you are sitting with them with your coffee on wedding day. So this is a huge vendor. And like I said, what we're seeing is these teams or these vendors are getting fewer and fewer that are able to really produce what you need to in the wedding industry. It's different than any type of other hair and makeup, studio hair and makeup, photo shoot hair and makeup. Wedding day hair and makeup is like a whole nother ballgame. So I'm just so glad that you found that vendor right off the bat. We do know if we could just give you like the real deal, this is a vendor like sooner than later when you know when and where and you know how many, you know, girls and guys, whoever wants to be touched up with hair and makeup, this is a vendor that you really want to start researching right away.
Yeah.
If you do have a coordinator or a planner, ask who they've worked well with. If you have a photographer, ask who they've worked well with. I mean, these two vendors can also help lead you to the right hair and makeup teams that not only are going to stay on time, but are going to look amazing behind a lens. Is that good?
Yeah.
I'm off my soapbox now, but this is a really important vendor. So the fact that you had a chance to,
to work with her
already is really, really great.
Random tip. Go ahead and ask if they have the capability to do any touch-ups. So just in case you have photos done, because I remember one of the first weddings that Ashley and I worked together, it was summer in St. Pete, and this poor bride, her makeup, just after they did outside photos, just was not the same, and it honestly wasn't on the makeup artist. It is Florida in summer. And it would have been amazing if the makeup artist was able to stay and do retouch-ups. So, in case you're getting married in Florida in the heat, that's also something to maybe ask of your artist. It's going to probably cost more, but might be worth it in the end.
I do love that suggestion. It's huge. If that's something, if you're new to the wedding world and you've never been in a bridal party that's gotten their hair and makeup done, touch-ups are not normally a thing after pictures or leading right up to the ceremony that makeup artists stay for without being requested or compensated, which is a really smart thing. So you might think in your head, oh, well, they're on site, right? They've been there really early and they've done their job and they've made sure that they've applied it in a way that's gonna stay well. But if you are outside in any type of heat or just, again, makeup application and touch-ups is very important to you. They usually leave some touch-up time right after things have been done. But when it comes to taking maybe some pre-wedding pictures, you're going to notice that after ceremony pictures and such, you may need a touch-up. And that is something that maybe there's some matte powder, maybe there's some touch-up of lip gloss. Maybe there's a couple products that can be left behind or that you've purchased personally that can kind of touch that up. And that's something that a coordinator or maybe another bridesmaid or friend can help with as well. And the same goes for hair as well, depending on how you're wearing it and considering how you're wearing your hair, depending on the weather. Yeah. I think it's huge. I don't even want to get on that soapbox, but we are going to talk more about this vendor as well, especially if we start getting into some more detailed things to be thinking about when it comes to selecting your style. And we're going to be talking about your bridal gown selection coming up in a couple episodes. So there's going to be a lot more when it comes to Shelby's look that we'll be talking about, but just wanted to give some like whoops, some props to our hair and makeup artists who are killing it. This is a category that I would not want to fill the shoes in. but we have. Oh my gosh, we can't even get into story time yet. We need to have a story time podcast episode because I'm not gonna lie, we do have a very talented producer on staff that also besides being well versed in photography and social media can also kill some hair and makeup.
She does it all.
She
fine diamond earrings and confetti.
Oh wow. We need it right. Where's the notepad to write this down for like episode 10 needs to be story time.
Taking notes.
So we're going to get right back on track. And the last thing I wanted to do to touch on your engagement session, if you guys have been following along on our social media, please continue to do so, because we're going to be posting tons more that correlate with the episode that we are discussing. But one of the things you may have noticed is that we've posted a ton. I had to post them all.
I know.
And there's tons more. We didn't even post a majority of them yet. But of Shelby and Sam's engagement pictures by Joy and Everett Photography, with makeup by Patience. Again, amazing, amazing job. We couldn't even pick one, but we just posted a picture revealing your save the date. So I thought this would be great because your save the date actually included an engagement picture. And this is something that we recommend that you guys get out as soon as possible, especially if there's any travel happening. Even before you start selecting your vendors, if you're having an engagement shoot early on, go ahead and look into getting a save the date to people. You guys, this can totally be, you know, in an electronic way these days. I mean, if you wanted to send a save the date email, I don't know if anybody's seen Ride Wars. You know, if you have a best friend out there who's fighting for the same date and location, June 5th at the Plaza, then you send out an email.
Where's the Plaza in Florida?
Yeah, in New York. That was, have you ever seen Ride Wars? Oh my gosh!
Caitlin!
That should be a mandatory requirement. We're doing that. Pajama party. It is, you would die. It's got so much humor
in it.
It's
so good.
It's really funny. And very, my word of the week's cheeky, you guys. I'm sorry if I use it a lot in this podcast, but it is, it's cheeky. It's like, you know, it's not all like, oh, my wedding. It's kind of like poking fun at some of the craziness that we all do to make the day perfect, which is fine. That's what we do. But anyway, but yeah, that one of the bride or one of the brides of the movie sends out an email very hastily. It's like misspelled just because she wants her date reserved first. So the save the date is something that Shelby has sent out and that we did share. And do you want to just mention a little bit about what you did for your save the dates? Who did you go through?
Yeah. So I did a lot of research of different like print companies, I guess. And I was so torn between doing a magnet or just a normal one. I even did a poll on my Instagram to see what people like preferred. So after that, I actually got a lot of feedback where people were telling me that a lot of fridges nowadays are no longer magnetic.
Yep.
I don't know if you knew that, actually.
Only the sides of them are.
Yeah.
Because they're I forget what the...
Yeah.
It actually is.
So something to keep in mind.
Are no longer magnetic.
Mm-hmm.
Mind is blown right now, people.
Yeah. So that was a huge factor in how I decided on what to do.
Oh my God. I'm literally like, my jaw is like dropped. Like, I'm like, are you serious?
Yeah.
Wow.
So we just went with like a normal paper one.
Okay, well, it's not just normal.
Well, you know.
I mean, I'm sorry, guys. Have you all seen it? I'm telling you, go to our Instagram. Let's plan a wedding with. You will not be sorry. You're going to see this amazing save the date. So how did you pick which picture you put on it?
Oh, man. I had to, like, narrow it down, and then I had to decide if I was going to do, like, portrait style or landscape. But I actually had some help from a couple of my friends to kind of narrow it down to the one that we picked. And we decided to go through Minted for our save the dates, and it was the easiest process ever. It was so easy. They have all different templates, and the picture we picked, we uploaded it into there, we added all the information, and they actually print all the addresses on the envelopes as well. So all the envelopes came printed with the names and addresses, and all we had to do was put the save the dates in them and mail them out.
Okay, so two things that just pop up in my head. Two things. One, amazing that they print the addresses.
Yes.
And that's one thing that I noticed. I wanted to share it with you guys, and maybe we'll find a way to, the font actually looks a little bit like, I was going to say calligraphed. edit. No,
I'm just kidding. No, I'm cutting that in there.
It was calligraphed, you know, right on, like, but it really, the font was very beautiful.
It was.
And I loved it. But the second part about this genius thing of printing the addresses was, how did you, like, get everybody's address? How did you get everybody's address? That's like, I feel like getting everybody's emails easier these days, but like, what did you have to do to get everybody's address?
So I'm sure there's probably a much easier way I could have done this, but I actually reached out to every single person.
Okay, so.
Which took forever.
But let's just say there's some things that have to be done in a Stone Age way.
Yeah.
And I just think this might be one of them. Okay,
let's see. What you could do, of course, with them having their email address, but you could create a Google form and send out a mass email that's everyone's blind copied on and ask for their address. Then that way, responsible ones go ahead and get back to you, and then you only have to text the few that you didn't get it from.
Yeah.
But again, that's also having everyone's email address.
Another thing I found when making like our wedding website is through some of those like website things, we're using Zola. They actually have like a, they call it like a super link, and you send the super link, you text it to all the people, and it gives them a form they fill out with email, phone number, address, and it puts it all into a spreadsheet for you.
There's a lot happening here, guys.
You look overwhelmed.
No, I thought this is not my area. Like, you hear me comment on things, and I'm like, is anybody else going to speak? No, this is my thing. This is
why Caitlin's here.
Absolutely. Like, again, technology is wow. It really is. And I'm still not over the magnetic, non-magnetic fridge.
Stainless steel.
This is why this podcast exists. We're saving somebody a lot of headache right now. They were going to upgrade to the magnetic, and now they're not. Somebody comment below if you are now going to do a paper save the date and not a magnetic one because of this podcast.
It's easy to shove into a planner, like a month before, so that way you know, and your pretty faces are everywhere.
Yes. Well, I love those suggestions for collecting emails. And I am going to just say my like old-fashioned way. If you need that address and you want to make sure it's accurate and you want to make sure that that great aunt from, you know, New York is receiving your save the date or invitation, it does not hurt to just put in a phone call. A quick phone call, it's okay. Because we do know that weddings do include, it's not just our friends who are very tech savvy. Or who are acclimated with Google. It might be family members or extended family members that you do need to track down. This is just something that I feel like if you're trying to be a little bit more foolproof and not guess, go ahead and go get it yourself. It's not going to be a bad thing. And then also when you end up getting presents or cards in the mail or just whatever, however it ends up being, you also have that for thank yous. And then sometimes when it comes to starting families and such too, you have them for announcements or whatever, all kinds of fun things. So this is a great time to, as a couple, collect your addresses and your closest family and friends.
Yeah.
And kind of start that address book, which is what I like, together. And if you want a digital address book, they're lovely, but I mean, it's an address book, but it's your address book together.
Yeah.
Yeah, there. You guys get what I'm trying to say.
That's my contact book in my phone.
Yeah, again, so unromantic. Like, I just, you know, you have a beautiful one that you write in, and no, cross it out when it's changed. It's fine.
Pencil,
that works too. So, talked about our save the dates. Okay, so let's, this engagement shoot, I feel like.
Never ending.
It's like the never ending engagement shoot, but I've had so many comments about how beautiful your pictures are. There was so much going on there. I do feel like not only did you test out your video, your location, you had your outfits, you used it for your save the dates. Like, there was a lot going on for this shoot, and I think that's why we haven't let it go yet. But I did want to just make sure we talked about a few other details that you brought to the table at your shoot. It was comprehensive. We had some fun things going on. So besides your outfit changes, what was anything else that you brought to the table when it comes to your engagement shoot?
So I wanted like a fun prop. So we decided to get a custom painted champagne bottle from a local vendor here in Tampa. It's called Tampa Champagne, and she can customize the champagne bottles however you'd like. So we did our wedding date on it and kind of like our theme for the wedding, which is like a lot of like black and white tones and very bohemian looking. So we got the champagne bottle from her, and we brought that to the shoot so that we could pop it for some pictures.
That was a really, really cute. We do have some examples of those pictures that are on our social media as well. So you can definitely check those out. And just for everybody who's listening and needing some ideas, if you hear these things, we are going to tag the vendors we mentioned today, not only in our podcast notes, but also we'll be tagging them throughout our podcast Instagram page as well. So definitely be paying attention to that. But Tampa Champagne totally nailed
that.
And it really did add a little bit of a fun element to your shoot. Another thing that I thought this was kind of genius, you were also just, when it comes to decor for your wedding, we're going to get into all that. I know you were a little bit torn on how you want to do the florals. You've seen every look, you know, being in the wedding industry, and really toyed around with, I think you wanted a bohemian twist, but then you wanted kind of a classic twist, but then you wanted a pop of color, but then you wanted more monochrome, and like I've seen you go a little bit all over. And so I thought this was such a genius idea. You ended up doing a trial, like bouquet or some trial florals for your shoot.
For the shoot, yeah.
That was awesome.
Yeah.
And one thing I noticed, this is just another little tip, is it actually worked in your favor. Like when you worked with patients, you ended up saying, this is amazing. I love the way my hair and makeup has photographed with the photographer I will be shooting with on wedding day. But when you were trying some florals, I think you've already had some design changes based off the way that those florals shot. Is that correct?
Yeah, I did. It helped me kind of realize what I really wanted after, you know, seeing different styles.
See, I love that. So again, for those couples out there who are just like between styles or not sure, especially when it comes to florals all over your tablescapes or for your bouquet, like go ahead and shoot a little bit with some florals. Maybe this is a chance to, try a vendor out or try just a style out. So that's something else that Shelby did. I don't think I've posted any of those pictures yet with any florals.
I don't think so.
Yeah, so maybe we'll go ahead and we will post a couple more from the shoot that have to do a little bit more with what we've talked about today, just kind of filling in those blanks. I think you're going to hear this several times. One of the most important things to Shelby and Sam is photography. So when it comes to their wedding, a lot of things are going to be considered when it comes to photography and that element. So that last episode that we just shot, we talked a lot about photography.
Yes.
And here we are talking about it again. But it really is one of the most important elements for your entire event. So yeah, I think are we gonna wrap up the photography conversation in a little bow for a little while?
Yeah, a little bit.
Join Ever Photography, 7 Foot Films. We can't wait. We're gonna cycle this back around, but we just are giving out the love to you guys and cannot wait to work with you. Literally, every single time we've had like a little bit of a stressful conversation, I'm like, you've got the best vendors. You're good. We've seen them in action. You're good. So can't wait for that. So let's go into, we're shifting gears. How do we shift? Like, is there like an effect? Shift.
Nice.
Done. You got it.
Okay. We have shifted. So we are now going to talk about, besides your venue, besides your most important vendor to you, which is photography. I said it again. Oops. We're going to go into the next thing that we would coach our couples into looking into next. And the category is extensive, and it could go a lot of different ways. And I feel like we need another little drum roll. Here we go. I found out how to do this. We're going to talk about catering.
Woo.
Woo. Kinda. This is an overwhelming topic, you guys. In fact, it's funny. We also have the privilege of having a venue management division within Lovely Lane. So we also manage a few venues around town. That sounded so like we manage a few venues around town, and the thing that people ask us is, who do you guys recommend for catering? And that is almost more personal than photography, right?
Yeah.
There's so many different styles. There's so many different ways to go. There's a lot of misinformation out there. My catering vendors, can you get a? Whoop? Yep. There's so much out there. Like, oh, well, buffet costs less than plated, or we do toss away that's less than this, or we'll do stations so people don't have a full meal, but they're just, no. All these things that you've heard, you probably need to rethink. When it comes to catering, you really want a professional vendor who can serve, especially if you have over 100 guests or so, can serve a lot of guests within a short amount of time, a quality product. Also, your catering is who is basically running your event in a lot of ways. If your caterers and food are running behind, if the food is not hot, if there's not enough, if they're not bussing tables, if they're not handling trash, like they come in and they are the almost like workhorses of your event. It's pretty sensational to watch. It's one of the hardest working vendors with little glory. because there's so many elements to your catering team. You might have a head chef, or you might have an event person. You might have those that bus. You might have those that bartend. You might have those that serve. You might have those that serve beverage. You might have those that clear tables, cut cake. There's so many elements here, and that's why you are going to see the caterer is going to be your other high ticket item. And that's why it's important. I sometimes feel like people enter this category and realize, okay, we either need to cut costs here or we need to adjust our guest count, because that price per head you hear, this is where it starts to come into play. And there's a lot. There's a lot. This is also probably the, this is the vendor where your costs can go from this to this, and the range can be vast based on so many factors. So I think it's important. We've always kind of said, when it comes to your venue rental should never be more than half of your total budget. If that's happening just to rent the place, you should not even be playing in that arena. What arena should you be playing with? I don't know. Are we going to talk percentages, guys? I'm just saying that that's a category you don't want. You don't want to get over half. If it's that, it's not the right venue. It's not the right track. Yeah. The same thing kind of goes with catering. Catering is going to be another big chunk here. And I really think that the percentages just need to make sense to leave you some left over for all the other things that are going to matter to you. So what is interesting is a lot of times we meet couples and they come in and they say food is the most important. And that is an interesting experience, because now we're looking at food and beverage in a whole nother way. The quality, where it's, you know, how it's served, you know, how it's highlighted throughout the day, it's a whole nother thing. So, and who they select also. Not cutting any corners and doing certain things that are special and unique are sometimes what is most important to a couple, and this is where it comes into play. So this is a big topic. I could talk forever about it, but I think we're going to go back to planning a wedding with Shelby and hear her processing for who she's picked for her caterers. So let's go to your venue and let's talk about, is your venue open to you selecting any caterer you would like?
No.
Boom. You hear that, guys? The real deal. There it is. No. Yeah, it's the N word and it's right off the bat. No. There's a certain, there's certain categories that venues will not let you steer from, and catering is probably going to be one of the ones you run into the most. I think it's actually very rare that you are able to select your own caterer. And you do want a caterer who has been at that location several times before and understands their policies, understands their margins, understands all the things that they need to know when it comes to servicing the venue and you guys. So because of that, did they give you a list?
Yeah, they did give us a list. There were four caterers on it, which honestly made it less stressful for us to just go through the list and reach out to all of them and pick from there.
So based off just how you are, given the fact that you're a planner, did you reach out to all four?
I did. I did reach out to all four.
Okay, so what did that process look like? Talk us through that a little bit. So you got this vendor list and it had the four caterers on it, which you had to use one, right?
I had to use one, yeah. So we got all four of the menus, and it honestly was a very easy choice out of the four. Just communication-wise and how responsive they were, the size of the menu, our options, it made it pretty easy for us to select the one that we did.
So right off the bat, you kind of felt like there was like a clear winner.
Yes.
Okay. I say winner. This isn't like winning a prize, but I think that's such a great tip too. Is sometimes if you are reaching out to 3, 4, 5 vendors, you guys probably shouldn't be reaching out to more than 5 in any category. Don't stress yourself out. That's a lot, right?
Yeah.
Did you do that to any category? More than 5?
Yeah.
Okay, Shelby, this is why we're stressed. This is why we're sitting here in therapy right now. You guys don't need to reach out to more than 5 unless you strike out on all 5. And then after that, you need to say, why am I striking out? Don't you think?
Yeah.
Okay. Shelby just enjoys this stuff, guys.
I do.
She's getting a kick out of this. But especially in the catering department, y'all should not be reaching out to more than 5 caterers. I really think that based off of playing around on their website, doing some social media research.
And reviews. The reviews were huge for us.
Yeah, and this is where we're going to have it's going to be a fun one. We're going to basically have a party because we are going to talk about coordination and planners and how they can help you, them honing in on what they think might be the best fit because they work with them logistically. They work with them week after week. I think that this is, you should have it narrowed down to maybe 3 or so. It would be my suggestion. So you only had 4 to choose from. What I was going to say is a lot of times when you do reach out to everybody very quickly, you can kind of see based off their menu, based off your contact, based off very quickly, like, okay, this is one we'd want to do a tasting with, or this is one we'd want to do a tasting with. So you picked one. If you want to go ahead and just share who you chose.
We decided to go with Honeybrook Catering.
Awesome.
Yay. They're amazing.
But I feel like every time we're just like, and? So Honeybrook Catering, who's obviously serviced your venue many times.
Yes. Yep. They've worked there a lot. They know it really well. And their responses were amazing. Like, I couldn't believe how quickly they responded to me, how detailed they were in all of their answers. Any question I had, they just answered it instantly. They made me feel so relieved about the catering and all of that. So right away, we're like, okay, we'll book you guys. We're down for it.
Awesome. So did you have a tasting with them yet?
We booked them before having a tasting.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we booked them pretty soon after booking the venue. And then we did our tasting with them in September of last year. So we combined it with our engagement photos. So we did a trip to Georgia, we did our engagement photos, and we also did the catering tasting.
Awesome. Can I share something?
Yeah.
So that was really smart. And I think that's how it kind of goes when you go to Georgia, or if you're traveling or you're doing destination, you might only be able to visit once or twice within your planning period, and you have to kind of put a few different appointments in. So one thing me and Shelby are talking about, Honeybrook, if you're listening, she's probably gonna be calling. She was so engulfed in the tasting, her and Sam were so into it, she wrote no notes down,
no pictures,
and she can't even remember what you picked or why, right?
Well, we haven't even picked.
They haven't even picked, guys. They haven't even picked. So, you know, it's okay. You just were into it. But I would say one big tip is when you're sitting down experiencing the food, you're like, oh, we like this, we like that. But if you're a few months away and you're going to have to use that tasting to now supplement your selections, write a few notes down.
Take notes.
Yeah, do them in your phone in your notes, or kind of have a little notepad aside. A lot of times the caterers love that. Some caterers actually, we've noticed in a lot of ones that we've sat in, they actually have like a form where here's the menu that we're serving you today, and you can kind of jot next to it. So something like that I think is really useful. And me and Shelby have been laughing over the last couple weeks because she's like, Ashley, I messed up. I think we were hungry. We just started eating.
We were having
delicious.
Such a fun time. Like, we were having so much fun. But
so we'll be calling again, Honeybrook. We are going to have you help us remember what Shelby liked. Shelby and Sam liked. So anyway, again, not a huge deal. But I do want to say something about the tastings, too. Again, real deal stuff here. The tastings sound really fun, and they are really fun. You get to go and try all kinds of food. You get usually a personalized meal made for you or just a select few. But they are a lot of work for your caterer. So I will say it's not out of the ordinary for your caterer to either have some type of commitment from y'all. You guys have already booked us to go and do a full-blown tasting, and now we're just doing your menu selection, or to ask for a fee or some type of deposit fee for the tasting. I do just want to share that is not abnormal. In fact, if that's not happening at all, I wouldn't call it a red flag, but it's just something to consider. We have seen like the group tastings happen and things like that too. But sometimes an open house. Sometimes mm-hmm. that caterer has an open house. Yeah, like a group tasting that way. So you can try some of their appetizers and things like that. But yeah, just something to consider. That is not a red flag. And especially when it comes to catering tasting, this is not the time to go try 3, 4, or 5 different caterers and then turn away 4 or 5. It's not seen as like an act of disrespect necessarily, but that's not really how you would necessarily want to go.
Yeah.
If food is very, very important to you, you can share that with the caterer. And usually if food is like high on your category, this is also going to be a higher ticket item for you, because they're going to probably do preparation styles or preparation or serving styles or just quality of food, all kinds of things that are important to you. And maybe a tasting would be something they'd be up for with a fee. So anyway, just something to consider when it comes to that. The last thing I want to say about catering too is you want to have a caterer that's full service. I'm just sorry. This is just a mandatory thing for me. If your venue is not playing a part, so say you're at a beautiful hotel or you're at a conference center, or you're somewhere that already has a built-in catering team and staff where this is what they do. This is their house. They live here. This is they're used to servicing this property or your ballroom or your venue top to bottom. When you're bringing in a caterer, you don't want to try to cut costs by saying, we don't need your linens. We don't want you to only two. Can we cut down the servers? We don't need this. Can you just drop it off in a hot box? Can you, this is not the area to skimp when it comes to your service staff and those that are supplying the background of your catering. So that's just another piece of advice. If you have that option to pick, you're going to want all of those things included, and you don't want to start cutting things that are recommended by your caterer to do their best job. There's a lot more with catering. This is a whole category within itself. I think we will circle back and touch on this subject again, but just wanted to share that Shelby has found her caterer. She obviously has not made her menu selection yet, so you guys can help us out with that. Maybe you can help. We should go like live on our podcast and make your menu.
I know.
And maybe we can like talk it out. We can do some polls. Should she do the mash or the or the baked, you know? So maybe we can have some fun with that. So last topic, I knew this would be a big episode. Last topic, just to touch on just a little bit, is your bar.
Mm-hmm.
So another vendor that's going to have, each venue is going to have a ton of rules and regulations on this category. So one of the main things when you are touring venues is to ask them about their catering and bar and what their parameters are. So obviously you want to meet all of those first. But Shelby did want to do something kind of unique and fun in this category. She's seen it done enough, I think, that you were like, yeah, we want a twist here. Yeah. Just our location and stuff. So do you want to mention how y'all decided to do your bar?
Yeah, so we're doing, it's a really cute mobile bar cart for our cocktail hour, and it's called Sip and Steer.
Oh, cute.
And it's so cute. I'm obsessed with it.
I love that. So we've seen these bar carts. They are killing it.
They are.
We have a few local companies, and maybe we name them later on because I love them so much. We do. Yeah, guys, we hear you, the mobile bar cart locally. You want to come to Georgia? But we did find something similar, an amazing company in Sip and Steer for you guys.
Yeah.
So that's so great. But we love our mobile bar cart companies. They do such an amazing job.
Mm-hmm.
Really add an extra fun twist for your bar, but they're self-contained. And guys, there's things in this area that you don't want to deal with. You don't want to worry about how much ice you have for your guests.
You don't want to worry
about how many cups and garnish you have. The prep that goes into anything bar related. And also when you start getting quotes in this area, like one thing that people don't realize is how expensive it is to carry alcohol insurance. It's a lot. Your bar companies are not just a fringe investment when it comes to selecting somebody. Like your bar carts or your bars in general, anyone dealing with alcohol, is just be grateful that they're a part of it. And really, they do make or break your event. There's so many things with that logistically. When cocktail hour comes and there's 120 guests trying to get a drink all at the same time, there are so many details in this category. And again, we are going to get into the logistics of Shelby's event. So bar will definitely be one of them, because this is how you kind of make or break your guest experience. I think that, write that down, podcast 18, guest experience. So that would definitely be a category, but we did just want to share what she had done with her bar. And the reason we attached bar with catering is sometimes some of the caterers that we've worked with locally are extremely comprehensive, and they are able to do your bar just as well as anybody else. Some of them even own bar carts or own mobile bars, and they're able to add that in. So a lot of great caterers can also do your bar. And if the pricing's right, I'm just going to say one vendor for that category is not a bad thing. Unless you have, you know, a really neat scenario that you would like to use. So yeah, I think that's great. Oh, okay, we got a producer, Caitlin.
Are you guys having signature cocktails?
We are.
Okay.
Signature cocktails.
That's so fun.
The bar Sip and Steer, they actually helped us figure out what we want to do. They sent us some recipes we're actually going to try at home in advance.
Oh, how fun
and
are
test
you
them
guys?
Out and
Sip and
see.
Steer. Okay. Yeah.
Date night at home to try.
That is so fun.
I'm so excited. They also have furniture rentals. So we did add on a really cute like furniture set that they're going to bring, and they set it up by the bar.
Oh my gosh.
So fun. It'll be like a little experience.
Yeah. It's and the mobile bar, it's black.
Yeah. I love that. Well, that was super exciting. And signature cocktails just got me excited.
I know.
Can we try those Can we try those recipes? Like, I say live on the air. Guys, this is, you might as well be live.
I'll bring samples, yeah, next time.
Yeah, we should totally do it live on the air. Right? We should select Shelby's menu. We should select her signature cocktails. We should try
people's
the recipes. People's choice. What if we did? We had a Le Pau cocktail on the Sip and Steer bar. I love it. It's going big. No, guys, thank you guys so much for being with us for episode 4. We knew this was a lot. I feel like this is the .. because there's more to come. Mm-hmm. We are literally going to piggyback off of this episode and start episode 5. We're going to continue talking about the vendors that Shelby and Sam have already booked. Yay. And talk lots of tips and tricks for booking the best. Thank you all for being with us. We will see you on episode 5 coming up next.